Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
So you say, well, these things keep coming. I can't take anymore. Yes, you can, but you can only take it his way. And what we normally try to do is take it our way by trying his patience instead of trying his patience and letting him kick in and live through us and see what he can do.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Trying His Patience. If you literally go back to Genesis chapter 1 and work your way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, I'm not going to hit a bunch in the Old Testament, we'll hit some, read of some in the New. But it just seems like almost from scratch, Adam and Eve, you get into Abraham, Moses, you just go through the Bible. There's nothing but people trying his patience. And yet God is patient. You say, well, but not totally. Look what happened. The world kind of went wacko and Noah is the only guy survived. You know, those eight people that don't die in the flood, he saves animals, but he says, I'm done with the people. I'm going to kind of do a do-over. But yet he saved eight people. So he was not completely done, but that is getting right up to the edge, and we literally, the scripture says, have a rainbow in the sky because it is a sign that God's patience was tried, but not pushed to the limit where he just wiped the whole thing out. So we push him, we push him, we push him. So a question for you and for me, how are we trying his patience? And he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. He asks us to wait. We won't wait. He asks us to obey, and we don't. He asks us to pray. We won't. And yet he is patient. He is long-suffering. He hangs in there. And the consequences of not waiting, of not being patient, are not just that his patience is tried. It's that this stuff lands on us. Let me read you a few of these. If you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, let's start with this one. The same story is actually in another one of the Gospels, but I like the way it's told here by Matthew. And these are, I'm going to give you three instances of where the disciples, different people, have tried Jesus' patience specifically here. Matthew chapter 20, and let's jump in at verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. So get this picture. It's two of these disciples that Jesus had picked. Their mom, another passage says, came worshiping him. So literally they're worshiping. They're kneeling down. They come before him. You think, wow, this is awesome. The mom and these two boys, this is going to be extraordinary. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Like not, you know, heal some sick kid or whatever. I've come to ask, I want my boy sitting on either side of you in heaven. Now, is that, you say, well, is that a good or a bad request? I think this stuff must make God nuts. Okay, so look how it unfolds here. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we're able. Like, well, mom's here. Of course, we're going to say we're able. Yeah, we're able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Now they're trying, even the disciples, the other 10 patients. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. So look at the two distinctions here. You want to be great, be a servant. But if you want to be first, then you got to go from being a servant to literally being a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If you want to do it God's way, you want to be somebody, then you're going to end up serving somebody. Go to another one. Mark chapter 14. And this one kind of, I've read this even recently. And it seems to be one of the no-brainer things you think you could do. And yet they don't come through on this one. Mark chapter 14, let's jump in at verse 32. And this is Jesus about to go to the cross. They've had the Lord's Supper together, the Passover meal. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And they took Peter, James, and John with him and began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer's at hand." And then Judas shows up with the chief priests and the soldiers. Now, this is a very simple one. You say, "Well, that's, you know, I don't know what you're talking about." How many times does he say, "Look, just spend a little time, just pray, just stay awake"? And we say, "Well, I'm going to spend a little time in prayer." I'm going to tell you one of the most challenging ways to spend time in prayer. It's after you brush your teeth, wash your face, lay down in your warm, cozy bed on your pillow and close your eyes and begin to pray. You're not going to last long. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You go, "Wow, I was praying and all of a sudden I was asleep. How could that have happened?" Because you went to bed. You say, "Well, that doesn't work for me." Why do you think the Bible describes things like in Matthew about going into your closet and why people in the scriptures knelt to pray and things like that? I'm not saying you can't sleep in your closet. I've pulled that off too before for other reasons, but anyhow. So you get in your closet, you say, "Lord, I'm here to have a conversation," right? And I've had conversations with my wife, both of us laying there in the bed trying to have a serious conversation, and one of us would fall asleep. You go, "What if we're having a conversation?" Right? So if it happens with human beings, it happens with God. And all he's asking is like, "Give me a little time." You say, "Well, I had a really busy day," but go back through your day. This is so no-brainer. Don't try his patience. Just talk to the guy. He wants a relationship with you, and you'd be amazed. I'd be amazed how that can change my life. Now, so there's a few examples. So let me suggest something. Instead of trying his patience, why don't you try trying his patience? And how did he process things, and how are you equipped to do this? Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And let's jump in here at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." Now, this still seems to me a very bizarre thing to have to wrap your head around. Because I don't always glory in tribulations. If you have tribulation, some kind of challenge, some kind of issue coming your way, whether you brought it on yourself or it's just life, you know, is your first instinct to go, "Wow, this is great"? You say, "Well, what kind of lunatic would do that?" It'd have to be someone with a lot of faith, which the faith has been mentioned here before these verses, just a few verses before. So he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. You say, "Well, I'm not going to do that." If you read the rest of the verse and the rest of this passage and you see where it ends up, you might find yourself doing this more often than you think. Because look at the results. He says, "We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces" what? Perseverance, patience, your translation may say, endurance possibly. Tribulation produces perseverance. Now, I'm going to try to kind of in the middle of this right here, tell you kind of where all this is coming from. You may get to a place multiple times in your life. You may get to a place at the end of your life, wherever this happens, I think it can happen along the way or hit you big time. Sooner or later, you're probably going to wake up and look around and go, "Wow, if I don't die, this is not going away." And some people think about dying as like almost hopeful because they think, "Wow, if I died, I wouldn't have to deal with all." And that's why some people take their lives. I don't recommend taking your life. But if you're not going to take your life and you wake up one day and look at your life, and if you're decided to live your life the way God intends for you to live it, you're going to discover it's not going to be just a run around the block. It's going to be a cross-country race. And you better gear up and pray up and think about the fact that this is a long journey. Now, if you die, you die. Or if he decides to take you home for whatever reason, you're out. But if that doesn't happen, depending on how older you are, and the older you get, the tougher it is to make that journey because things get harder in some cases, you're gonna have to have a mindset and have enough faith to face the days ahead, not with, oh my gosh, so here we go again, I've gotta live. I got another day. You got to figure out how to wake up. I got to figure out how to wake up and get my legs under me again and say, okay, Lord, no matter what comes, I want to get where I literally glory in the tribulations that are coming my way. Because when I glory in those, when I get what's going on, then that produces perseverance in me. You say, well, I'm praying for patience. You can't get to patience or perseverance without the tribulation. So you say, well, I don't want the tribulation. I just want to be patient. I just want perseverance. That's where it comes from. So keep reading. Tribulation produces perseverance. Then perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's what I'm after. But I don't get there sometimes because I get locked up at the first place of trusting God in the tribulation. So you say, but these things keep coming. I can't take anymore. Yes, you can, but you can only take it his way. And what we normally try to do is take it our way by trying his patience instead of trying his patience and letting him kick in and live through us and see what he can do. What we normally do is what? The tribulation hits and we don't run to Jesus, really. We run to something to alleviate the pain. You go, oh my gosh, I can't take it anymore. I gotta get a drink of something. I gotta go look at something on the internet. I've gotta smoke something. I gotta go buy something. I gotta do something to feel a little better for a moment. And maybe it works for a moment, but then you got the problems compounding on top of the problems. And at some point, the people I'm trying to reach today are people who go, I'm tired, dude. I'm tired. I'm tired of that life. I'm tired of running to these same old things. So you wake up and you go, God, let's try it a different way. And I'm going to face this tribulation. And when I do that, you promise that what? Some perseverance will kick in and you'll be able to hold and not give in and keep moving. And then what does that turn into? Perseverance into character. And then that character brings about hope. Now, I'm going to tell you really, really personally, really, really honestly where you can get on this. Even if you find yourself cresting a hill and you realize you're not at the finish line and you can see tons of road ahead of you, the only way that you're going to make it or that I know that I'm going to make it is to have some hope. Because sometimes you almost lose hope. You say, well, how is that possible? You're a Christian. You just start going, I don't know if I can keep going. You cannot wing it with Jesus and make it. Now, I'm not saying you're going to die and not end up in heaven, but if you're going to live it the way he intended, you're going to have to lock in, load your heart with some hope, and just keep moving. And there'll be times when you don't feel anything, when the earth doesn't shake, the wind doesn't blow, you just know what you know, and you keep moving. Can I get a witness on that from anybody? Okay. So you say, well, that's not sexy, that's not exciting, that's not fun. Neither is life all the time. It's life. That's just the way it is. Now, there are moments of just crazy, amazing joy and happiness and excitement, but there are also some tough stretches where you need this sequence to make it. And then the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't give you a lot of Greek words because I just don't do that. But every once in a while, I do highly recommend that you do some studying on your own and you go do some digging. We can only look at so much on a given setting like this. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and I'll give you a couple of these, the word and a little twist on it. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it's just been Hebrews 11, so here we are in Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, or with patience, your translation may say there as well, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The word here for endurance is the same word used in a minute here for endured, but it is cheerful or hopeful endurance. Constancy, enduring, patience, patient, continuance, waiting. But I love the fact that the word here in the definition is cheerful or hopeful endurance. It's almost like a spiritual endorphin kicks in and you go, wow, I'm going to make it. And if you've ever run a race or been in a competition where you thought you couldn't make it, and then there's that moment where that kicks in and you go, I see the finish line. I can do this. I'm going to make it. And there's almost a cheerful endurance, a cheerful patience of holding on, like we can do this. So he says, you got all these people have gone before you. They've made it. You can make it. Lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance, or this cheerful, hopeful endurance, the race that is set before us. And how is it that we're able to do this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, same word, endured the cross. And the word here endured means to stay under, behind, that is, remain figuratively, to undergo, that is, bear trials, have fortitude, persevere. He stayed on the cross. You say, well, of course he stayed on the cross. They nailed him to a cross. Once you get nailed to a cross, you can't get off. He's God. Nobody kept him on some cross. He endured the cross. He stayed there. There were legions of angels at all times. They were waiting just to rescue him if that's what it got to. Thank God that he didn't do that, that he stayed on that cross. So you say, well, I don't want to be on a cross. You cannot experience resurrection without death. You say, I don't want suffering. I just want the benefits. You're going to suffer. If you're living your life your way, you're already suffering. So if you're going to suffer, let's figure out a way to suffer God's way and decide to follow him, take up our cross daily, whatever that means, and follow him. And see where that leads. You say, but that could be painful. Your way's already painful. You found no way around it. And then every once in a while, someone say, well, all the, if I just had money, I wouldn't have any problems. I can fill the room with people with money that can buy whatever money can buy, and they got more problems than you'll ever have. And part of why God has allowed you to have just what you need may be part of your tribulation that produces some perseverance, that produces some character, that produces some hope, so that you can be the person he intends for you to be. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's your example. Now I'll tell you straight up, I don't like suffering. I don't like pain. Nobody really does. Now you can get these kind of, some people like, yeah, I love pain. And that's a whole nother kind of twisted stuff, right? But if you will push through that and say, God, I can't. And he says, yeah, I can. I'll give you the patience, the endurance that you need. He can do it. I can't. He can. So I have to let him. He lives in me as a Christian. So I have to let him live. And again, there are stretches of the road where you better figure this out or you will not make it. And you may be in one of those right now. It may be health issues. And they may never go away. And you're either going to try to do this your way and fix it your way, or you're going to say, God, what do I do? Get me around some people, some help, some scriptures, some ways to live so that I can map out a plan and do this your way, or I'm not going to make it. Go to one last one in James chapter 5, and then we'll be done with James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and again, for the sake of time, let's jump down into verse 7. You know what? I forgot this one. So no, this isn't the last one. Do James chapter 1, just really quick. I stuck my notes in here at James chapter 1 because I didn't have it in my notes, and I don't want to read this. And it goes back to the same thing that I read a minute ago. James chapter 1, let's jump in at verse 2. My brethren, so written to Christians, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I can't tell you that I'm there 100% yet. I don't have that instinct yet where I go, wow, this is great, another problem. But once you get in this groove, you go, okay, there's a reason for this. What's the reason? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now see, you pray for patience every once in a while. That's not the issue. The test is not of patience. The test is of your faith. And when your faith is tested, according to this, that's what generates the patience. So you say, well, should I be praying for patience? No, pray for faith, that God will give you the faith you need to do what he wants you to do, because the only way that you can count it all joy when you fall into various trials is to have faith that it's going to be okay. So he hits you with a trial and you go, okay, Lord, I got it. I'm not going to go down. I see that something's challenging here. It's a test of my faith. And this faith is what's going to generate this patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You're going to feel like, I got it. Not that you know it all or you've arrived, but if you will get this little system down of tribulation comes, you say, okay, Lord, I trust you. Give me the patience to endure this and go through it. Then once you get in that cycle, you're perfect and complete, lacking nothing, because you're not getting nailed, not getting knocked down every time you get hit with something. So I promise you, you get up and leave this place today or wherever you are driving around or listening to this, you say, well, I'm about to walk in. I don't even know what's coming. Then just try it one time. Just say, Lord, I know for a fact I've probably got challenges coming today, but I know it's the testing of my faith. So I'm asking you, you're going to bring it. So I want the faith to, when it happens, say, okay, I'm going to count it joy and say, Lord, thank you for this situation. You say, well, I don't want to do that. Then keep doing it your way. And how is that working out for you? It's not. Try it one time. You say, but what if it's a big thing? It doesn't matter how big it is. He's not going to allow it if you can't handle it. And if he allows it, then he's trying to teach you. So go with it. All right, go to James 5 and we'll read this and we'll be done. James 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Again, to Christians here, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. And I've used this example in terms of giving before, and here he uses it, this agricultural, simple farming, planting seed. He says to them, look, just look at the farmer. You be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. You say, well, he's not coming. They've been saying he's coming forever. He's not coming. I'm going to live and die, and he's still not going to come. Look at how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Wait patiently for it until he receives it. It rains when he plants it. It rains at the end. You just have to be patient. You say, well, I can't take this anymore. There's a difference in childlike faith and childish faith. Anybody can quit. How hard is that? Hang in there. Wait. And this is such a hard thing to tell young girls and young boys with so much pressure, so much temptation, so much coming at them. Everybody's doing it. You know, you got a test drive, all these crazy things. But to say to a kid, look, just hold on. And when I stand before all kind of couples and marry them, and some of them have made catastrophes of their lives, and God has restored them and rebuilt them and changed their lives, and they're going to be okay. But there is still consequence. There is nothing like kissing someone for the first time at the altar. That's crazy. I didn't even do that. I kissed her 2 or 3 times before. You say, well, that's just crazy stuff. Maybe not. Maybe God's way actually does work. Maybe waiting patiently really does work.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Keep reading that same passage here. The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets. And he goes back to the Old Testament. Who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. They tend to go hand in hand. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance or the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Go read the book of Job. You say, well, all these horrible things happened to Job. They did. Read the end of Job and see how it turns out. You say, but I don't want that life. You don't get to pick your life. The only way you get to pick your life is if you do some stupid things to make it worse than it was going to be anyway. So if you've had enough of that, why don't we just settle in on what God allows instead of making up more crap to make it worse, right? And then God gets me, oh, I can't believe God did this to me. God is not doing a ton of the stuff that you're doing. He's allowing you. If you want to do a fool thing, he'll let you do a fool thing, but he's not forcing you to do something stupid.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.